Well, have you ever been excluded? Have you been not invited to the party that you found out about a bit later, maybe on Facebook or something, or shut out from some gathering, not included in a group email that went out to everyone else, something that you wanted to be included in? I wonder if you've been somehow excluded. It's a painful experience to be shut out of something. Children, of course, hate it. They love to be in with the fun and to be sent to their room when the fun is going on outside is very painful, which, of course, is why we use it as a discipline technique. And on the other side, how happy it is when, for the child who's brought from their room back into the circle of fun. How good it is when we who were excluded from something are now included and brought into the circle fully. They're great things. Now, we're looking closely at the blessings God has for every Christian. And today, we see the extraordinary blessing we have of, as Gentile believers, of being included in Christ. It's an astonishing thing. The Bible says in our passage today, the Bible says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is verse 3, the heading over this whole passage. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And then he goes on in verse 13 to say, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Well, let's pray as we think about these words. Father, thank you so much for the enormous privilege of being included in Christ. And we pray that you'll help us to get our minds around this profound gift that you have given us. And we pray that you'll cause our hearts to rejoice with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, firstly, I want you to notice the we and the you. I wonder if you noticed from last week in verse 7, I hope you've got your Bibles open at Ephesians chapter 1, but back in verse 11 it said, in him we were also chosen. And then he comes down just a couple of verses later and says in verse 13, and you also were included. We and you. There are two groups that he's speaking about. The we, which includes Paul himself, and the you, which is the Ephesian people. Now, who does he mean? Well, I think the best sense is made, and many of the experts seem to agree, that the we are Jewish believers. And Paul was one of them. Paul was a Jew who came to Christ. And the you are the Gentile believers, which is mostly what we are here in our church. We are Gentile believers. And most of the Ephesian church were Gentiles. So that's the two groups that he has in mind, the Jew and the Gentile. Now, I think to us that doesn't mean a great deal, I suspect, anyway. And I guess that's because we're so completely a Gentile church. That's all we know. We don't really think much about the Jews. They are just the people of the Bible, and times have moved on and we're in this part of the world, and, well, it's not that important. the Jew and Gentile are not categories that mean very much to us. England versus Australia, now that's their categories we understand, but Jew, Gentile, not so much. But we should think about them. We should, because the Jewish people were and are unique in all the world and in all history. They are unique. In fact, forget the way we think of the world. God says, God himself says, that there are just those two groups of people. We think in terms of Americans and English and Australian and New Zealanders and all sorts of countries around the world, Southeast Asia, Russia, and so on. We think in those categories. But no, there are just two kinds of people. You're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. If you're a Jewish person, you have God-given privileges. And if you're not a Jewish person, if you're a Gentile like us, we are excluded from those privileges. And we as Gentiles are the ones, we were completely excluded. I was once excluded in early high school. I'm sure many of you have had experiences like this. In early high school, I discovered one day, I came to school after a weekend, and I discovered that I'd been cut out from my circle friendship group at school. It was a very painful experience. It's one of those experiences you always remember. And I wonder whether something like that's ever happened to you. Being shut outside a group of friends is pretty lonely in school. In fact, it's pretty lonely any time, really. Now, the Jewish people were the we's that we've been talking about. The Jewish people are the haves. They were and are Israel. God had formed a special relationship with them that no one else shared. He made a covenant with them and no one else. Just them. They were given a special symbol of their relationship, and that was circumcision. They were and are, and still are in an important way, God's own. The Old Testament says, Israel is his son. And so God spoke to them and to them only. He gave them his law. And they alone among all the peoples of earth could approach God in prayer and have God's forgiveness through the temple that God himself gave them and its sacrifices. We could come to the temple, but we were kept very much on the outer rims of that temple. But the rest of us, well, the non-Jews, we are the have-nots. Doesn't look like it there, does it? They look like haves. They're having a great time. They are the have-nots. We are the have-nots. We were completely excluded from any relationship with God. As happy as we might look in the photo, we were excluded from any relationship with God. God made no relationship or covenant with us. He did not speak to us. We had no means of having the forgiveness of God. In fact, we were dead in our sin and simply the objects of God's wrath. We were not God's sons as Israel were. We were strangers to God. In fact, enemies of God. So if you've got your Bible open, just turn to chapter 2, verse 1. It is on the screen as well. Chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "As for you," that's us, "as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." That's who we were. That's what we Gentiles are. And going down a bit further, down to verse 12 in chapter 2, he says to us Gentiles, "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world." That's us. That's us. So I wonder if you can get a sense of what it means for how desperately excluded we were. Without hope and without God in the world. Being shut out from a group of friends is one thing, but being shut out completely from God and the family of God is another thing altogether. But here's the amazing news. Now some of us Gentiles have had something dramatic happen to us, and God himself is the one who's brought it about. We have been included in Christ. We've been chosen and predestined, as we've learned in previous weeks, to be included in Christ. You know, in those tumultuous high school teenage years, I think they're pretty tumultuous for most of us, I longed for nothing more than to be included in a group of friends. It was a new school that I was at. Our family moved about from place to place. This was a new school I was at. And so it was actually fantastic when at first a couple of Christian teachers took me under their wing and made themselves friends to me. And then through them, some other Christian students got alongside me. How wonderful that was. Now we Gentiles, we who were complete outsiders, strangers, enemies, we who were the have-nots, have now been brought right into the heart of God's family. We have. From being the have-nots, we have become the haves in the fullest sense of that word. How's that even possible? The answer is that God has lavished his grace on us through Jesus Christ. So if you've got your Bible open, go to chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Wow! Wow! Listen to that! Isn't that astonishing? And jump down to verse 13, we read about verse 12, without hope and without God in the world. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. We were shut out, without hope and without God. But now we have been brought near. In fact, as we saw a few weeks ago, we too have been made sons of God. The men and the women, all of us, we are inheritors, we're sons of God, adopted into his family. Now that Christ has come, it's only through him that anyone can have a relationship with God. It doesn't matter whether you're one of the people of Israel, a Jewish person, or whether you're like us who are Gentiles, Christ is the one who deals with sin, with wrath, with alienation for all of us. Israel are unique. They do have a formal relationship with God, and God longs for them to be saved. But sin is just the same a problem for them as it is for us. And through Christ and him alone, all the blessings that we have been seeing unfolded over these last few weeks, in these first few verses of Ephesians 1:1-14, all of these come to the Jewish person, and all of these blessings come to us. We are chosen, and we've been included as sharers in God's inheritance. We are adopted as God's own children. We are redeemed by Christ's blood, and our sins are forgiven. God's plan to bring all things under the rule of Christ has now been revealed to us, the outsiders once. We are now included. We have now moved astonishingly from being the enemies of God to now being for the praise of God's glory. Just like every Jewish person who turns to believe in Christ, so if we turn to believe in Christ, all this is ours. So do you see what's happening here? From being shut out of the house, we have been brought into the innermost places. From having no hope but wrath, we've been made sharers in eternal life. We are now fellow heirs of God's kingdom. From being steerage passengers in God's ship, we have now been taken up to first class alongside our Jewish believer friends. We have an equal standing of blessing with them. Equal. And when did it all happen? Well, it happened when we heard and believed the gospel. The verse, remember, our key verse says, and you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. God is a God of utter truthfulness, and so his word is a word of truth, utterly reliable. And that word is of truth is the gospel of Jesus Christ, who died and rose to be Lord and Saviour. In that gospel, we are called to repent from our rebellion and to trust Jesus as our Saviour, to submit to Him as our Lord. This is the word of truth. This is God's word to the world. Have you turned to Christ? Really? Deeply? Truly? If that is the case, then you have been included in Christ, and you have been included fully. Do you sometimes feel to yourself that maybe I have to work harder and harder to be fully included in Christ? Do you quietly feel that that might be the case? Well, if that's you, I want you to hear this and to put your heart at rest. For the day you decided to trust Jesus, from that moment you were fully included. There's nothing more to be done. Nothing more. You're fully included. Do you sometimes feel like a second-class member of God's kingdom? There are the first-class people, the really amazing Christian people up there, like the minister, like the student minister. Well, they're a class apart. There are some other really keen Christians here. They're in their own class. But me, well, I'm not like that. I'm not like that. I want you to hear this, if that's you. Because of Christ, you are not second class. Christ has taken you to first class. There is no such thing as a second class Christian. No such thing. I'm a minister. Brian's a student minister. But neither of us are any more superior or better or higher Christians than you. We only stand on the same grace of God in Jesus Christ, whom we have believed, and that is the same grace in which you stand, isn't it? As you have believed, just the same. And so the blessing of God is that every one of us who has believed and responded to God's gospel, every one of us is fully included in Christ. And everything Christ has accomplished is ours. And everything Christ has promised us is yours. Well, this is an extraordinary blessing. An extraordinary blessing. Three final words. I hope you can begin at least to feel the weight of the blessing that has been given to you as a Gentile and to me. The blessing of being included in Christ. What you and I have is no small thing. It's an immense privilege that we've been given, and it's because of God's rich grace lavished on us, His overflowing kindness, that this is so. Secondly, so that's the first thing, it's no small thing. Secondly, there are not two sorts of Christians, there's only one sort of Christian. Whether that person is labelled a minister or a missionary or an elder or a warden or a whatever, there's only one sort of Christian. and that is the person who has thrown themselves on Jesus Christ for mercy and for the forgiveness of their sins. That's what I've done. That is my only hope. That is what Brian has done. That is his only hope. And that is, I trust, what you have done. And he is your hope. We are people who all sit at Jesus' feet, carefully listening to his word, to learn how we should live our lives. We are disciples. We treasure the scriptures. God's word are our food, our drink. That's what a Christian is. There isn't any other sort. There are not believers and then disciples, as if some of us are disciples and the rest of us are just ordinary Christians. There's no such thing. The person who throws themselves upon God's mercy found in Jesus is a Christian, is the believer, is the disciple, is the ordinary Christian. And if for some reason you feel that this description doesn't fit you, do please come and see me. Let's talk together, so that you might be clear and fully assured of your standing in God. Don't be embarrassed about this. Don't put it aside. Nothing is more important for you than to be clear on this. So come and speak to me this morning. And third, you might be listening to this and in your heart you might have realised that you've really never turned your life over to Christ, that you believe you probably don't share in the blessing of Christ. Then please again see that you can become a sharer. You can become a sharer in this extraordinary blessing simply by accepting and acting on the gospel, by quietly turning to Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, putting yourself from today under Christ's word. If you will do that, you'll be fully included in Christ from that moment. All that Christ has accomplished will be yours. Just as much it is as it is for the rest of us. And I hope you'll do that. We'd love it if you would do that today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you have graciously called us to Christ in the gospel. And Heavenly Father, you have in Christ given us everything when we had nothing. What an incredible blessing you have given us. Father, cause our hearts to rejoice with joy at being included in Christ, at being made a full member of your family, your kingdom, one of your very own children through Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you for sending him. We thank you for making him everything and making us everything in him. In Jesus' name. Amen.